With the saints always, and yeah, boy, those manifestations were really something, huh? Yeah, I think God likes us. He thinks we're kind of cute and a bunch of other great things, huh? Well, this sharing this morning is all about you. It's all about the number one person in God's heart. It's about the pick up a crop. That's you. It's about number one. It's about the gold medal champions. And that's each and every one of you. So this teaching is all about you. Okay? Great. But before we get into you any longer, let's talk about somebody else. And that's God Almighty. All right? Yeah. So we're going to go to Matthew 5:48. I think we've got a up on the TV screen. So some of the verses will be up on the screen, some will not. But this one is, and the latter part of this verse is what I want you to really look at. And that's, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is what?
Perfect.
So our Father in heaven, what is this characteristic? That He is?
Perfect.
All right? Is there any negative things in perfect? Is there any problems with perfect? No, perfect is perfect. We're not talking about 99.99%, are we? We're talking about 100% perfect. Yep, so that's our God. In Deuteronomy, we will take a look at that, 32:4, that's on the screen here. He is our rock. His work is what? Would you have thought anything else? No, because God is perfect. He's our rock. There's another wonderful verse that you could turn to if you'd like. I'll share it with you. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? The God of what? All flesh. That's mankind, animals. He is it. He is the God of all flesh, and there's nothing too hard for Him. Not at all. Now let's go to 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22. I think we can certainly agree as we look at the work that our Heavenly Father has done, pretty good job, right? The universe, the planets, how everything fits so perfectly, all the laws of science and nature fit so perfectly. Comes to reason, right? God is perfect, and so what He does is perfect as well. So in 2 Samuel 22, verse 31. As for God, His way is
perfect.
I think you're getting the point here. The work of the Lord is tried. And then in verse 33, go down to 33. God is my strength and power, and He maketh my way
perfect.
He's going to make our way perfect. So we're not dealing with a God that doesn't care, a God that's weak in some areas, that's not has everything that is needful, but He has everything. He is perfect. He has it all. There's a wonderful verse in James 1:17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift that cometh down, let's see here, that is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Yeah. Man, that's, God gives you a gift. You think there's going to be any blemish in it? Any problems with it? No, it's going to be
perfect.
Perfect, yeah. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to be looking at a number of scriptures here, so we're going to go to Hebrews 5. God is perfect, and all that He has done is perfect. Now, God had a son. What do you think his condition was? is perfect too, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, though he were a son, Jesus Christ here, yet learned he the obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. You know, being a perfect son, the perfect Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whatever he authors is going to be pretty lasting, long-lasting, right? That's why we just don't have any kind of a salvation, a temporary salvation. We have an eternal salvation, which is fantastic. And it's unto all them that obey him. Obey him. We have a perfect heavenly Father who gave us a perfect Savior, who did the perfect will of God, who made us, you and I, perfect. When we become his sons and daughters, when we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we're saved, we're in the family, we receive the gift of Holy Spirit. You think that gift of Holy Spirit is lacking in anything? No. No, it's perfect. It's perfect. So we've got it all. When you're born again, when you become a son of God, you are perfect. You really are. You really are. You know, one minister said when he was talking about this and measuring this, he said on a scale of 1 to 10, you are 11. I like that. You are off the charts. That's who we are. You are perfect. Let's go to Hebrews 13. Go a few more chapters from, I think you were in 5. So let's go to Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. So God has given us something perfect so that we can do what? What about our will? Well, we can do our will, but why not do his will? Why would we want to do his will? Because it's perfect. Yeah, I'm into tapping into that. Every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And ever, right? Amen. Amen. This next one, I think, is on a slide here, Hebrews 10:14. We're going to look at Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. You and I are sanctified. We're set apart special. So we have been perfected. It's a pretty great reality, isn't it? Well, let's go to Colossians. I'm just going to overload you with God's word here so you get the point, okay? That you are pretty special. That you are perfect in his sight. Now, I know some people might not, you know, they might point fingers at you and start complaining about your habits and other things that you might do that they don't like. But if God looks at you, what is he looking at? He's looking at the perfection of the Christ in you. Yes, we've got a choice how we think about this. How are you going to get your head around the idea that you are perfect? Well, keep feeding your head the Word of God. Keep feeding yourself the truth of God's Word, because it's more true than what any other person might say about you. Really. Really. You have that perfection in your life. So what are we going to focus on? Are we going to focus on the problems? Oh, there's a lot of problems out there, aren't there? All kinds of things we're confronted with, we have to deal with. So how are we going to deal with that? Are we going to deal with our problems? Or are we going to use our perfection to deal with our problems? Yeah, let's do the latter. Let's realize that we are perfect in His sight, that we have something so real and wonderful, long-lasting, that we can utilize in our everyday life to deal with. Because we're not in a perfect world, are we? And I'm not talking about the world that God made, but what man has done with it, it's kind of screwed up. Yeah. So we live in it. We've got to deal with it. We've got issues, things that are happening in our life. But why not deal with it from the perspective of who we are? That we are perfect in His sight. So Colossians 4:12. Colossians 4:12, I think we've got a, I'm not sure if we have this on the slide. Yes, we do. We have this on the slide as well. You folks that have called in, we've got a beautiful image here with this verse on the TV screen. Wish you could see it with us, but obviously you could see it in the Bibles you're looking at. Colossians 4:12 says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you, how?
Prayers.
You know, we work hard at different things, but this is a good thing to work hard on, our prayers. Have a viable, alive prayer life. And Epaphras sure had that, didn't he? Laboring fervently for you in prayers. And what was his prayer? That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's a good prayer, huh? That we can stand perfect in all the will of God. We are perfect. We are complete. We are. But how are we handling it as we take on this crazy world that we live in? And that's our challenge. That's the renewed mind, right? The renewed mind, the key to power. Renew our mind of who we are. We are perfect in His sight. So we don't allow anything to say less of us. And then as we take on the situations that confront us, we do it as sons of God with power. Yeah. You and I are born again believers. We are perfect. We are the perfect you. The God, the perfect God, manifested His perfect love to produce the perfect Redeemer that in turn provided the perfect salvation that filled us with the perfect gift of Holy Spirit that God has given us. This perfect gift in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Pretty neat, huh? So, what, knowing what God has done here to make you the perfect you, why wouldn't we want to change some things in our life to tap into this perfectness that we are? And that's where we get the renewed mind. We are perfect in God's eyes. And as we approach God's throne of grace, I think we heard that in the manifestations a little bit about approaching His throne. We do that. Do we do that as a needy, broken down person? No, we do it as Christ in us, the perfect you, the perfect you. So we are a son of God filled to overflowing with God's love and power. Okay? So as the perfect you, I've found that more and more I would make decisions not based on my desires, but on His desires. You know, again, we got to make decisions all day long, don't we? You know, your alarm goes off and you got to make a decision. Are you going to get up or not? Are you going to stop that fellow there and you're just going to get up or not? No, you got to make those decisions. And we've got a lot of decisions to make. But as life goes on, time goes on, why not make decisions based on being a son of God, a daughter of God? And the things I do now I trust are things that will give and help the family of God. You know, that's the real joy of living our life now as the perfect you, is to be able to help others. That our will, our desires are to help other people, make decisions to help other people. It says in Ephesians 2:10, I'll just quote it to you, I am his workmanship, or masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, that we should do them. So we've got the privilege as God's workmanship to do his will, to walk in all that he's called us to be. Philippians 2:13, this says, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, there's two things here, right? God's going to work within us both to what? Will. So God can work in your heart for you to will, to desire. And it gets kind of interesting when we really, really get down to thinking about our relationship with God. Are we going to do our will or his will? And it's not like if we do his will, then we're going to be some religious fanatic or something like that. God has done so much to bless us and to make us special in his sight. Why not take advantage of that and listen to what his will is? And then we can move out doing that. You know, we have a wonderful opportunity to be our best for him. Let's take a look at Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6. We got this on a slide as well. I'm going to quote it to you, and I'm going to add some of my words in here, but I think you'll understand that. Philippians 1:6, we, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in me, you, us, will perform, and the word perform means to finish or complete, he's going to perform, finish, complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that day of Jesus Christ is when he comes back. Yeah. So we're living in interesting times, but man, we got the opportunity to live these times as the perfect you. Not like we're real haughty and, you know, you're not going to associate with anybody because I'm perfect and you're not. See, did Jesus Christ act like that? Was that his attitude of mind? No, man, he was reaching down to the lowest of the low, wasn't he? He had no problems doing that. Because his life was all about giving, serving other people. And I think more and more as we really grasp on to who we are and look at what God would will for us to do, we're going to find ourselves doing that. Giving, serving, being involved, to helping others. You know, the greatest thing that we could do, I've said this so many times through the years, the greatest thing we could do is to help somebody get born again of God's Spirit. Yeah, I mean, to come from death unto eternal death to eternal life. You can't beat that. That is the greatest thing in the whole world. It's the one thing that causes angels to have parties in heaven, right? And somebody changes, you know, gets born again or saved, the angels rejoice, and we can too. So my exhortation for you this morning is to just remember who you are, that you are pretty special, that you are perfect. And then let's live our life day by day realizing this, renewing our minds and understanding what that means so that we can do his will and be blessed. Okay? All right, so Father, thank you for the privilege we have to be connected with you in such a wonderful way. You're a perfect God. You've done a perfect work through your Son, and you've made us perfect in Him. Not what we are, what we do, but we have the privilege now to base our life on your perfection in us. And what a wonderful opportunity that is. And we're grateful, Father, that we can do this and have that sweet fellowship with you and with one another within the family of God. So I pray for your people this morning, for blessing them, continuing to communicate with them so that they know your will in each and every individual's life, and that we can be our best for you. And I pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you, Bob.
Great.